Genesis chapter 21. Yeah, that might work. I didn't put it on my iPad. Genesis chapter 21. Verse, I'll be honest with you, I've been sitting here fighting, trying to figure out if I want to preach all of what the Lord laid on my heart this evening, or if I want to break it up and use it Sunday. That's hard. It's like I was studying and I'm like, wow, what a Sunday message. And then the Lord kept feeding me. I'm like, well, hey, it's a message period for the Lord's people. Amen. So we'll see what happens. I'm going to follow what he says. Chapter 21, verse 1 says, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son, Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. That's true. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now, Brother Gene, you can translate that hearken unto her voice as yes, dear. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat down her over against him a good way off, as if it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. Let's pray. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, tonight, Lord, as we come to your word, we ask, Lord, you open our hearts and minds to it. Lord, we ask that you give us discernment. Help us, Lord, to take it in and to use it for your honor and your glory. Lord, we ask you to be with each one here tonight. Be with their families they represent.
Thank you, Jesus.
Be with all these prayer requests, Lord, that have been brought up. Have your will with each one. We lay them at your feet. We know that you're in control of all things. Lord God, no matter what's going on in this nation or in this world, we know that you are on the throne.
Yes.
And we thank you for that. I ask you to hide me behind that cross. It's nothing to do with me. It's all about Jesus. And in his name I pray, amen. Now, I'm going to, the Lord's kind of spoken to me a little bit here, so we're going to see what happened. I want you to go to back to verse 16. We may come back to Abraham and Sarah, but I want to go over here to Hagar. I want to go over here to verse 16. It says, and she went and sat her down over against him a good way off. And as it were a bow shot, for she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. Now, she lifted up her voice and wept to the Lord. Notice the next verse. And God what?
Heard
the voice. God heard her. He also heard the child, no doubt. The child was scared and cried to God. Listen, go to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 4. Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. You get there, say amen.
Amen.
All right, verse 4 says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be what?
Comforted.
Listen, when we call out to the Lord, it doesn't matter what's been going on in your life. It don't matter whether you've lost someone, a dear loved one may have passed on. It doesn't matter what kind of problems you got. It may be financial problems. Anybody ever had any financial problems? Amen. Yeah. It may be that. Anybody ever have any spouse problems? Surely not. Nobody has no spouse problems. They all treat each other like kings and queens. Amen. Uh-huh. You better say that if she's listening. Now, if she ain't listening, you're okay. I won't tell them. But listen. We've all had these problems. And the Lord says we can call out.
Amen.
We can bring it to Him. Matter of fact, hang on to Genesis. Go over here to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter... Well, it's somewhere in here. It's in the back there. I'm still getting used to where everything's at. It's a little off in this one. Hebrews chapter 4. Sounds good. It covers me anyway. Verse 16, look at the way he says this. He says, let us therefore come, what?
Boldly.
We can come boldly to the throne of God with whatever problem we've got. It may seem to you to be a whole lot of nothing. Maybe it's one of those problems like, well, should I pray about it or not? Pray about it.
Amen.
I know a woman who most of you didn't know her, Sister Betty. She would drive up to Walmart and she'd say, Lord, I need a parking place up front. I don't feel like walking. She said, sure enough. Every time it didn't matter what the holidays or what, it opened up a parking place. And she said she'd pull right in. There's been more than once my wife would say, well, let's pray about it before we go. And I'm like, well, it's just for this. No, well, we ought to pray about it. She'll pray about it, and there it is. Listen, it doesn't matter what it is, and it may be a real serious matter. It may be some news you didn't want to hear from a doctor. It might be some news you didn't want to hear from your wife
or your husband.
Pray about it. Bring it to the Lord. And He says you can come boldly to the throne of grace. He says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain what? Mercy. Somebody give me a definition of mercy. Getting what we don't deserve. Not getting what we do deserve. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. Listen, whenever we call on the Lord, He gives us mercy.
Amen?
That's a blessing. To me, I need mercy. Because I ain't got a lot of brain sometimes. And it helps me out that He's willing to do that. His grace helps me out.
Yeah.
There's a lot of times, boy, I before I go talk to somebody about, I say, Lord, give me grace. Give me that seasoned words for whoever I'm talking with, because I ain't been seeing humor. Or, Lord, they just ain't got all the coming. I don't know how to get it across.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't tell somebody that. They get mad at you.
Yeah.
Now, listen, you got to ask for that seasoning. You know, you don't want too much salt, but you got to have salt.
That's right.
Egg without salt is horrible.
Yeah.
I even salt the egg I fry for my dog sometimes. Because I don't want her to eat something like that. Listen, the Lord, He says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He'll give us that grace we need to get by in time of need. Now, He may not give it all to you at one time, because I'm going to be honest with you, you probably couldn't handle it. If He gave it all to us at one time, we wouldn't even be able to walk into church a head be so big. He gives it to you as we need it. He told Paul. Paul prayed and said, Lord, I got this problem. I'm sick of it. He asked Him 3 times, and the Lord said, no, you're going to keep that. Now, there's a lot of people, theologians, will tell you what it is. I ain't going to go into it. I got my own thought too. I ain't a theologian, but I got my own thoughts of what it was. But guess what? God gave him what he needed when the time comes. And God will do that for us. Amen? So when we go to the throne, listen, it don't matter what it is. Bring it before the Lord. He says He will help us with it. Amen? What a blessing that He is willing. Listen, God is not too busy that He'll help you.
Amen.
He will always be there for us. I've had people tell me that. Well, I didn't want to bring it before the Lord because I know He's busy. He created the world, what we know of, the universe, in 6 days. You really think He's that busy? I mean, He spoke it all into existence. He can handle your problem. And you know what, Peter? I think it's in Peter. Peter says in there, I'm pretty sure it's Peter, when we get to heaven, a lot of things that we thought were just super colossal problems, we're going to look back and think, well, that wasn't nothing. Because we're going to realize at that time. All right. Let's go back over here to Genesis. Genesis I didn't write the verse down, so we'll keep reading. Alright, 16. Let's start there again. And she went and sat down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lift up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. So no doubt. Now, it didn't tell us, but no doubt, Ishmael must have been over there crying. He must have been over there talking to God, bound to have, because he heard him. And where was that? Oh, voice of the lad. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee? Hagar, fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Fear not. You know, a lot of our days, we have some fears that are not needed. They're really not.
Amen.
When we really back up and think about it, it really wasn't no need to be to have fear with it. And said, for God had heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. Now, I'm going to be up front with you. You know what nation I'm talking about. You know the people. that was Abraham's mess up. But nonetheless, it's a promise that's kept. I've told you before, whenever you see Jerusalem on the TV, whenever you see a Jew, you know that God keeps His promise. He told Abraham, He'd make a great nation. Well, there's another one. Whenever you hear of a Muslim, you see Iran, Iraq, all them places, guess what? He kept His promise. He made him a great nation. So the Lord, when the Lord promises, you can bank on it. It's going to happen. And God opened her eyes. Now that's important. We talked about some of that this morning, opening her eyes up. But I like how God did this. God opened her eyes. And she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad to drink. Hey, everything turned out good. He grew up. He became the great nation. But what I want you to look at is God opened her eyes. You see, if we're willing, when we get saved, there's something that special happens. The Holy Spirit moves in here. But I want you to go to the book of John, chapter 4. Book of John, chapter 4. Book of John, chapter 4. Now look at verse... we'll start with 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, "What?" Now, you do know who this is talking about. It's a woman at the well in Samaria. And she's at Jacob's well, which is a very important well. And Jesus asked her, "Give me a drink." Verse 7. And then let's start at verse 9. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." See, they didn't have nothing to do with them. Jesus talked to her, and when he asked her, this woman, she took note because she's like, "Wait a minute. Wait a second. There's something different about this cat here. He's a Jew, not to mention he's a he, and I'm a female Samaritan, and the Jews look at us as pretty useless." You ever heard the term useless as chicken mess on a pump handle? If you're from the South, you have. That's about what they thought of the Samaritans. Not very high. They pretty much worthless people. That got her attention. You know, the Lord gets our attention sometimes by a lot of things. But that's what He used to get her attention. And Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, 'Give me to drink,' thou wouldest have asked him and he would have given thee living water." Oh, if you knew who you were speaking with, you'd say, "Hey, I want some of the living water." Now he's getting her attention even more. And she says, the woman saith, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence thou hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob," which by the way come through Abraham, "which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle. And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But, now here's the verse, but, verse 14, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But now that's what I want you to get. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life.
Amen.
Listen, through him, we, each of us that have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be a well springing up water like a river flowing, and it can go to all people that we talk to.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Jim Black is a missionary in Bulgaria, was in Romania for a while. He's sitting right over there. And listen, that's a well of water springing up. He's taking it to Romania. He's taking the gospel to Bulgaria. He's taking it to other places. When we go places, we can do the same thing. We can be like that well of water because guess what? We have it right here. Amen? We've got it here, but if we keep it here, what good is it? It'll get stagnant. It'll do nobody no good. But if we're out there putting out a track... Oh, here's one. I put some of these out just the other day. We take this, you don't even have to approach a person. All you gotta do is put it right there. And somebody will walk along because we're humans. You know why they put a lock on a box, right? Keep honest people honest. We're curious. Oh, what's this? Listen, that's what you never know if you leave this somewhere. Who reads it and who takes heed to what it says?
That's right.
Or we could walk up and say, hey, young lady, you should take that. Do me a favor to read that. If you're legitimate, that's all you got to do. You ain't got to walk up to them and say, listen, you're dying to go to hell. You better get your life out of this. You're not scared of that. It is. It's terrible. I had a guy one time approach me in a mall, and I looked like it. We don't have to discuss the haircut and the beard. He walks up to me and he said, son, you need Jesus. You're going to die and go to hell. And I looked at him. I'm like, yeah, I've heard it all my life. See you. and if I had died, I would have. But look what an attitude he had. That didn't help me. The one that helped me most of all, and I can't remember the guy's name, because he was at a church, and he was like assistant pastor or something, and he would seek me out. He'd say, hey, man, you ever go fishing? Because he knew I liked to fish.
Yeah.
I was in the oil fields, and he says, what week y'all? Y'all this week? And I'm like, yeah, actually, I am. Why am I going to go fishing? Never said a thing about the Marlboros. Didn't care. Never said it. The only thing he did ask me is he said, now, I know you drink, right? And I said, yeah. You fish live in the water? Yeah. I said it. He said, just don't bring alcohol. That's all I have. I said, that ain't no problem, man. I ain't got that big an issue.
Yeah.
I ain't one of these guys got to have a beer and hand fish and fall in his hand. Yeah, never complained with me, never said anything about my hair, never cared that I had a beard and jeans and, you know, that's rebellious.
Mm-hmm.
I like being. Never, all he was concerned with, hey, let's go fishing. And we float up to the creek in Lauderdale County, Mississippi. And we go down that creek and the whole time we're fishing, he's throwing in all little bitty things. I did not get saved. He would witness to me. He'd tell me about Jesus. And he'd tell me these things. And he's like, well, yeah, I know. I grew up here.
Yeah.
But I still remember that. And it planted that seed. And guess what happens? When we plant a seed, somebody comes along and works around with us.
Yeah.
Somebody comes along at some point and says, hey, you got issues? You got problems? I know a man that can fix them all here.
Yeah.
You take that. You read it. That's what we're just watering some other plant to see, but this has got to be watered.
That's right.
Yeah. And at some point, God gives you increase.
Yeah.
But that doesn't get the increase. It ain't me, it ain't you. It's us telling people about what we've got, which is that water that's flowing. Listen, it can be just a little, you know, kind of like that little hydrant over there. It just kind of trickles out. Or we can be like Niagara Falls.
Amen.
And we get it out there.
Yes.
We'd be like, everybody, the Mississippi River is huge. Do you know more water flows down the Colorado River than the Mississippi River? And the Colorado River, listen, I've walked across it. It's not the safest thing to do, but I have. We can be that way. All we got to do, let the Lord open our eyes to it. And that's what He did. He opened our eyes and we realized what we can do for people. Because yes. Listen, everybody needs water, amen?
Amen.
We live in the desert, much like where they live. They lived in the desert. Water was an important thing. Listen, we've got the living water and we know about it, but too many times we hide it. We shouldn't be doing that. We ought not to be hiding it. I'm going to go to one other place, Romans. Romans chapter 13. Well, it ain't that direction. Romans 13. Romans 13, verse 11. He said, we're going to read from 11 to 14. Well, now let's start 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Listen, if we love everybody as we should, we're not working ill toward them.
Amen.
You got somebody in your life you just can't stomach. I know you do. I've got a few of them. You get near them and it almost makes you want to vomit. They call you on the phone and say, no. You know, you hand it to your wife and she says, no. We've all got those type people. But if we love them, like the Lord said, it's no ill toward his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law.
Mm-hmm.
You want to please God? It's called love. We're to love each other. We're to have compassion. And now listen to what he says. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Now that ain't rocket science. I believed in 1984, and guess what? I am, 1984 and it's 2021. I'm closer now than when I was when I got saved to salvation, to the Lord coming back. That ain't rocket science. The Lord may not come back for 50 more years. Then again, He may come back this morning. What a blessing. It'd been good to go up this one, first day of the week. We just last year with Sister Judy. But anyway, so Romans 13, verse 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. In other words, now is the time for... You know the Lord just said, you know. Do you? How many people have you been telling? You know, I can't answer. We should be telling. You know the Lord just said. I know you've been telling. I'll ask you the Lord. We need to be telling people about the Lord.
Amen.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
I let Brother Hosea know the Lord. Mm-hmm. He needs to be letting people know. do. Kyle, he does too. Mm-hmm. We need to be letting people know that, listen, the time's getting close.
Yeah.
It really is. We are on. Somebody said something about 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where it talks about the tribulation period and all of that. Don't let all that get mixed up. But we're right there. We are so close. But guess what? We need to be waking up out of our sleep.
Mm-hmm.
We really do. We need to start getting up and letting people know. And if all it is, if all it is taking that right there and laying it down in the restroom, or laying it on the counter somewhere, put it by a mailbox. Don't mess with a mailbox, you could get in trouble. That is what telling people about the Lord is. We need to wake up out of sleep. And he said, now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe.
Amen.
The night is far spent. There's that word spent again. In the South, that means it's done. We done used it up. The night's spent. We've sat around long enough. We followed we went to church and said amen and praised the Lord and sang long enough. We need to keep doing that, but we need to start doing what the Bible says.
Yes, yes.
And then he says, the day is at hand. Let us put on, let us therefore, cast off the works of darkness.
Yes.
In other words, are you living like the world? Get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
Cast it off. You need to get rid of that. We've done that long enough. Cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. I told somebody this morning. And want to know, well, how do you apply some of this stuff? I said, well, here's a good one. King David. King David, there he is, laid up in his house. He, man, King David killed his 10,000. He was not a real soldier. What do you think we got soldiers today? Him and his mighty men were bad news.
Yes, sir.
And here he is laid up, hands back behind his head, when the kings were supposed to be out of war. War was day. He laid around in the house. He got his armor on. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us to put on the armor. He just said we need to put on the armor. We need to put it on, leave it on. It needs to be part of our attire.
Yes.
For lots of reasons. But he said armor of light. What's that mean? We're supposed to be letting others see Christ in us.
Amen.
We need to be allowing others to see Christ in us. Not an attitude. When you burn the bacon, I ain't here no more. Hey, bless your heart. They burnt your bacon order some more. What is it? $4?
Hey.
If $4 is going to break you, you need to go out to eat to start with.
That's right.
Just set it to the side, take it home, dog leave, and never complain. I talk to waitresses and waiters. You know, most of them hate Sundays. For one, they got to work. But for number two, because they said the worst people in the world for tip is Christians. That ought not to be.
That's right, man.
I've made it a point. I go out of my way to tip them as much, at least 20%, if not more.
Man.
And when I walk in the door of these, Pastor Jim, I just wonder, women, okay, you want your door? No, I'm going to try this tonight. They know who I am. They know some of you that go with me. And they like us. And if we're ever going to lead any of them to the Lord, they got to like you.
All right.
That's what it does.
Yes,
it does that armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering, wantonness, not in strife and envy, But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You see, King David laid back. They went off to war, and he stayed back, relaxed. Gets up one night, walking around, and married Bathsheba. Now, I ain't going to blame it all on David. She shouldn't have been up on the rooftop naked.
That's right.
All right? I think she knew what she was doing.
Mm-hmm.
But David hadn't have been there, been where he was supposed to be, had his armor on, that wouldn't have been a problem, but that became a real problem.
Yes, sir.
It caused him lots of grief. Why? Because he didn't have his armor on. You see, we need to be careful with ourselves. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't make provisions for the flesh. You know what your problems are. Don't make provisions for them. Because if you make provisions for them, then they, honestly, they're going to get a hold of them. Because the devil's swifter than you are.
Mm.
We might think we're pretty smart.
Yeah.
And I know some folks in here pretty smart. Brad will talk about some junk. I ain't got a clue. I know you touch this wire together with that wire, you don't do that again. He knows why it does that. Tony talks about some stuff I have no idea. I don't get it. But we're not wiser than on Satan. Listen, he's brilliantly stupid, but he's good at what he does. He blinds you. He'll hang the blindfold over you, and you just can't see. Be good at it. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill all the lust areas thereof. That's what he does for us. He hangs it out there and blinds us to the real reality. But if we got Jesus, we got that armor on where it ought to be, if we're where we ought to be, we look at it and say, devil, I don't need that, because Jesus said, uh-uh. Because, you see, every time I've ever been about to cross that line, there's always that little voice in me that says, uh-uh. Or as I do with my dog, my dog's about to do something, and I say, eh! Boy, she'll stop. Every now and then I hear it, eh! I know what that is.
Yeah.
That's the Holy Spirit saying, uh-uh. You don't do that. What am I going to do with it? If I got on the full armor of God, I can back up and I can say, Lord, I need some strength here.
Yes.
And guess what he'll do? He'll help you.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's stand. We're going to have an invitation tonight.